Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another devotional time here on our Holy Week devotional series. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is Wednesday morning, and so we are taking a look at really what is part of what's known as the Olivet Discourse, or Jesus' teaching on the Mount of Olives. And in Matthew's Gospel, these are the final three parables that Jesus gives to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And they are specifically parables for those who profess to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're contained in Matthew 25. We are going to read the whole chapter of Matthew 25 and take a brief look at these three parables. Jesus told them together for a reason. He told them when he did, right after he was talking about the end times and his second coming and the judgment of the world, and right before he goes to the cross to be judged and condemned in our place. He tells these three parables, and so we're going to take a look at them, and we will see what God is speaking to us, how God is challenging us through these parables this week. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for another day of life. We thank you for waking us up and giving us life and breath and health and strength. We thank you even more than that for your word, which points us to your Son, and to your Son who teaches us the truth that we need to know about who you are and about who we are and about how we are called to live in this world. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen our faith in Jesus this morning and that you would help us to see him more clearly, and Father, to be more obedient disciples for the time that we spend with you by the power of your Holy Spirit working in our hearts, applying your word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's get right to the text. Matthew chapter 25, a little different format this morning. I'm going to be having it on screen like this because it's a longer passage, but this is the word of God. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. But when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's Matthew 25. So Jesus is in his final week with his disciples. We don't know exactly when during his final week this teaching took place, but we know it was during that final week. And we know it was right after he took them to the Mount of Olives, and he taught them, in answer to their own question about when his second coming would be, when the day of judgment would come. They had asked him, when will all these things be? And that's recorded for us in Matthew 24. You could also read it in Luke 23. But then Matthew adds these three parables as what Jesus taught them immediately after talking about the end of the world. You see, when it comes to end times things, eschatology, we can get caught up in a lot of things that are not as primarily important as what is actually brought out by these three parables. Bible scholars have debated the Olivet Discourse because part of it seems to be referring to the year AD 70 and the destruction of Jerusalem, whereas part of it seems to be clearly referring to Jesus' second coming and the final judgment of all things. And so there's been disagreement over what applies to AD 70 and what applies to the final judgment and how much was fulfilled then and how much is yet to be fulfilled and what will be the signs that he's going to be coming. I remember listening to a whole series of teaching when I was in high school about what will be the signs of his coming, things to watch for, right? Well, Jesus tells these three parables, I think, as the perfect antidote to that kind of thinking, which frankly is usually unhealthy for us spiritually. Jesus tells us, first of all, the parable of the virgins. And the point of this is that we need to be ready and waiting for Jesus to return. The key difference is that five of these virgins have oil for their lamp, and five do not. Now, in Scripture, oil is almost always used as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. When the anointed prophets, priests, and kings of the Old Testament were anointed for their office, they were anointed by having oil poured on their head. And that was the sign of the Holy Spirit anointing them for their office. And Psalm 133 talks about the blessing of the Holy Spirit coming upon brothers and sisters who dwell in unity, being like oil running down the head. And so it is a picture, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. And so five of these have the Holy Spirit, and five of them do not. Now, there's ways to apply this in terms of the diligent means of grace, diligent use of the means of grace. So reading the Bible, praying, going to church, confessing your sin to God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God's people, partaking of the sacraments of the Lord's Supper, as we're going to do tomorrow night in our Maundy Thursday service, that these means of grace, the ordinary Christ-appointed means of grace of the Word, sacraments, and prayer, gathered worship, fellowship, that these things are the ways in which God fills us with His Spirit, fills up our lamp with the oil, right, and makes us ready for Christ. But I think there's also a more fundamental difference between the virgins who were ready and the virgins who weren't ready. And it goes a little bit beyond just the diligent means of the use of grace and what really the diligent use of the means of grace says about our hearts. Because to the virgins who were not ready, to the virgins who did not have oil for their lamps, Jesus doesn't say, you didn't work hard enough. You weren't diligent enough. Rather, he says to them, truly I say to you, verse 12, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And so there probably was a significant problem that they were not being diligent in being in the Word, in being in prayer, in being in worship, in partaking of the sacraments. But the problem wasn't that they weren't checking off enough religious duty boxes. The problem was that they didn't know the Lord. You can do all of those things and even be diligent in them and still not know the Lord. But if you do know the Lord, if you truly know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will long to be in His Word. You will long to pray to Him and pray for others to Him. You will long to be in worship together, gathered with His people. It will be the aching and the yearning of your heart given by the Holy Spirit. So some of these had the Holy Spirit, some of these didn't. But they were all people who outwardly were saying that they were waiting for Jesus. But Jesus did not know all of them. Not all of them had truly come to know Him and to be filled with His Spirit. And so not all of them were diligent in seeking Him and being ready. The parable of the talents speaks of the reality that we will give an account to Jesus for the stewardship of the things that He has given to us. Now, Jesus is very clear, and frankly in a very politically incorrect way, that He gives to each one according to their ability. Later, Karl Marx would take this phrase and turn it on its head and would say that what should be done in a socialist economy is to take from each one according to their ability, and to give to each one according to their need. And there are some Christians who've said, well, that's the way Christians ought to be. That's not the way Jesus spoke. Just not. In fact, Karl Marx is deliberately twisting the words of Jesus when he says that. So we need to beware of those who would twist the words of Jesus. Jesus gives to each of us abilities, ministries, opportunities to work, to serve. They're told in the parable in terms of talent, which is an amount of money, right? So we're each given an amount of spiritual capital, as it were, right? We're given opportunities to minister. We're given opportunities to serve. And then we're going to be held account. We're going to be held accountable for that. And what I love is that the guy who was given two talents is praised and commended by the Lord just as much as the guy who was given five talents. It really doesn't matter how much you're given, but it matters what you do with what you're given. You see, the guy who made five talents, he says, "You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And the guy who had two, in verse 23, Jesus tells him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." It's the same commendation that's given to those who have a larger area of influence, larger ministry, larger opportunities because God has entrusted them with a little bit more, right? And it doesn't matter if it's more or little. It matters what you do with it, right? And the difference between the guy who had one is not that he was only given one. It's what he did with that one and why he did what he did with that one. Oh, what he says about the master is just not true. Verse 24, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground." How should we read that? I think it's very obvious. This man does not really know the Lord. Just like the five virgins who weren't ready. This man has been given ministry opportunity. He's been given the word of God. He's been given the means of grace. He's been given an opportunity for stewardship, but he doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't know his heart. He has this very jaded and twisted and cynical view of God. There are many religious people who fall into that category, who may serve in the name of Jesus begrudgingly, half-heartedly, because they figure they're going to face him on judgment day and they better get their act right. But they don't know the Lord. They don't love the Lord. And so their service is not joyful and abundant, and their service is totally unprofitable. All right, finally, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And what I want to note here very quickly is that both the sheep and the goats say the same thing to Jesus. "When did we see you hungry or thirsty?" In other words, the sheep are not those who are out there looking to earn, you know, salvation merit badges by serving Jesus, by serving the poor and the hungry and the homeless and the needy. They're out doing that because they share the heart of their master. That's what Jesus did when he was here. He had compassion on the crowds. He fed them when they were hungry. He freed them from oppression whenever and however he could. Had opportunity to do so in his human nature. Of course, as God, he could have set everyone free. But God leaves people in need in part so that we as the church will have his heart and will carry out the same ministry. Which to me, it's really the same point. The goats didn't know the Lord either. If they did know the Lord, they would have ministered the same way that the Lord ministered. If they had the heart of Jesus from truly knowing Jesus, they would have been eager to serve others in the name of Jesus. So you see, at the end, these three parables are all telling us the same thing. Jesus is coming again, and he will judge the living and the dead. The question for us is, will we be ready? And the answer is not work harder. The answer is not be better. The answer is, do you really know Jesus? Do you really love him? And what difference does knowing and loving Jesus make in your life? A fearful expectation of judgment might lead us to cower and to serve begrudgingly in a self-interested way. God's not interested in that. That's the five virgins who had no oil for their lamp. That's the one guy who buried his talent in the ground. That's the goats who were busy doing things in the name of Jesus but didn't care for the poor. Knowing Jesus as our wonderful, merciful Savior, our compassionate, gentle, and lowly Lord, will warm our hearts with love for Him, so that we will be eager and ready for Him to return. Our lamps will be full of oil because we'll be in the Word and in prayer and in worship. We'll be diligently taking care to do our best with what He's given us to do and eager to give an account to Him for it, as meager as our efforts may be. And we will be serving others in His name because we know Him. So do you know Him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, salvation is found nowhere else but knowing You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. This is eternal life, that they may know You and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. That's what Jesus prayed for us in John 17. So, Father, I pray that each one of us would know You and Jesus Christ whom You've sent, our Lord and Savior. And that knowing You would change everything about us. Not that we would become suddenly perfect, but that we would be true and sincere in prayer, in Bible study, in gathered worship with the sacraments, in fellowship, in evangelism, in missions, in witness and work for Your glory out of a heart of love, because we've come to know You and You are everything to us. Stir us up with that, Father, even this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, our plan is to gather back here on Friday morning, and we're going to take a look at Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Before that, we have our Maundy Thursday service tomorrow evening out at the Deer Creek Overlook in the 4-H camp. That will not be live streamed, so it will not be available online. It is a communion service. It is a service that is focused on partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And it really seems contrary to the whole purpose of the service to live stream it, because there's no virtual participation in the Lord's Supper. So if you are able to make it, we would love to have you. 7 o'clock at the Deer Creek Overlook in the 4-H camp tomorrow night. Otherwise, I'll see you back here on Friday morning as we look at Jesus standing trial on Friday morning before Pontius Pilate. Have a blessed day in the Lord.